roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our house, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast. I haven't called it that in a while, Goz. It's technically the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast right now. So here we go on another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast. I used to like to rhyme go with show. That's why I often refer to it as the MMA Junkie Radio Show. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. On a Thursday, March 26th, how you doing?
Not bad. How about you?
Good. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Surviving.
Yeah, that's what everybody's doing today. So trying to.
Mm-hmm. We want to flatten the curve, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Every day
get
I wake
back
up
to our beautiful studio.
Every day I wake up, and that's what I want to happen. So I know that things can get back to normal soon. So listen, for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to try and bring back some normalcy to your lives by talking about mixed martial arts. We're going to talk about some of the big headlines here for this past week or few days since our Monday episode. Some of it's still the same storylines. UFC 249 is going to be a big talking point for the next few weeks. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? If so, where? If so, who? That. We got a little bit of information, kind of. They're still holding on to their cards, tight to their chests out there at the UFC PI. And we also have an interview with James Vick, good friend of the show. He's a guy that went to on a military visit with us, so we know him very well, and I think that comes off in the interviews as well. James went to Thailand recently, and he was there for, what did he say, it was close to 4 weeks?
He was there 3 weeks. He was 3 weeks. Planning
he was
on being there
one
four.
More. Yeah. And then when he realized just how serious this thing was, he had to make a few adjustments, you know, to his schedule and find a flight back because he was afraid that he might not be able to get in. And so his girl, I keep saying that because I still don't know, is he married or is that just his girlfriend still?
I don't know.
Yeah, I meant to ask him. And his kid, they, you know, he wanted to get back to them because he only had a week left anyway. But like on the one hand, I'm sure it was easy to find a flight because not many people are flying, but at the same time, or room on a flight, but at the same time, how many flights are there? Because so many countries that, you know, he talks about it. It was like five legs to get home, plenty of room in the plane, but still. Anyway, so James Vick will be our guest. Buckle up, folks. It's time for MMA Junkie Radio. All right, so of course we got to start off talking about UFC 249. First of all, goes just a quick yes or no, maybe a quick comment. Is it happening or not? Your gut feeling. What's your gut tell you?
My gut feeling is yes, it's going to happen.
Because Dana White's cray cray?
Exactly. Because he's cray, he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me start off with this interesting little nugget that I saw. It was posted by Shamat Karsandu from BTT Sports. That's right. Shamat Kar is no longer with PFL. We've known him for a while. He was a colleague of ours when he was a contributor at MMA Junkie. But he posted this one. Goes, here are the odds for UFC 249 location. And it's the sources betonline.ag. So I guess I'm promoting it. But this isn't Shamat Kar just throwing numbers at a wall. Florida, 2-1. I guess that could be Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa, Pensacola. It's a big state. And if you think about it, that might, well, no. I was going to say something. But, yeah. All right, I'll save it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Next, UAE.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I'm not mistaken, that's United something Emirates. What's the A stand for? United Arab Emirates is what it is, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's 7-2. Same as 3.5-1. So, Florida's 2-1. United Arab Emirates is 3.5-1. Russia is 4-1. Mexico is 5-1. Saudi Arabia, 9-1. South Africa, 10-1. Nevada, 14-1. But
we rescheduled our meeting.
They canceled the Nevada State Athletic Commission emergency meeting, which I thought they could Zoom in or
right?
Skype in. Yeah. That was weird. Internet, well, maybe that was their way of saying there's just way more important things going on, or hey, we know we can't meet, but yet we don't know how to set up Skype. That was kind of bizarre.
I guess that's what it is. I don't know. That was odd to me.
International waters is 25-1. That's the one I was saying. I wonder if Florida includes international waters, but international waters is its own category.
Hmm.
Area 51 is 80-1. North Korea is 100-1.
Jesus.
So at least they had a sense of humor over there.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised they didn't throw out Antarctica. Just throw it in
there. Might as well, right?
Yeah, because it's the only continent that doesn't have a case.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's probably only like 6 residents. But back to, I guess, Florida. I had been hearing Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi, I guess, would be part of UAE. I heard that's a strong consideration. Florida, remember we heard that as well? We heard Florida, yeah. A cruise ship, or Abu Dhabi from someone we know who was chatting with someone who tends to be right a lot.
What I don't understand is he says he's like 99.9% sure of the location.
Mm-hmm.
But all that means is like that last point is like, what if a meteor hits the Earth, right? Like,
I think it's just is out. So in other words, he's telling you it's set. We're going. But that 99.9 is set in case you go, hey, there had been rumors that it was going to be on a cruise ship. What happened? Then they'll turn and go, remember I said 99.9? Yeah, we had it. It was going to happen. But me and my team, we pulled it together, and instead we're having it in some barn on the island of Cuba. You know,
as far as I know, yesterday, fighters that were going to be on that card still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So if he knows, but they don't know, like what's the deal here? I mean,
that he's telling them, be ready. So be ready, man. Just means train, and then yeah, we'll coordinate the whole. It's almost like those private planes they got, which they don't seat a lot of people, but it almost sounds like a school bus is just gonna come by and scoop mm-hmm. you up at your local airport. I guess.
But,
James Vick and his travels stories that you've heard, you will hear about. Lead you to believe that it's not tough to find a space on a flight. It's mm-hmm. the flight itself, like we know that when I've booked a flight for mom out of LA, I know there's LAN Airlines. I think it's called LATAM now, and I know there's a American Airlines. There's a few that are nonstop, and I know one leaves at 2 and one leaves at 8. I would venture to say LATAM's like, we cut off the 2, you know, we're just doing the 8 right now or something. So I think maybe we don't go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now we just go Monday and Friday. I don't know.
Think about Florida and the pressure that they have because of their kids being out there on spring break and all that. Like, couldn't all that just flip? Like, I saw a report the other day talking about a Champions League game and how many people probably got infected at that game and passed it on to other people. Like, what if that day, those days at the beach or whatever, that was their version? And all of a sudden, Florida gets into a lockdown. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's that sure, I don't think he could be that sure about a place in the United States. It's got to be somewhere else. And if it's somewhere else, at that point, just tell your fighters, man. Let them know if they have to go that far. Well, there's a big difference
between South Africa and United Arab Emirates.
Right.
I mean, it's still a far flight, but they're in, like, complete different directions. But, yeah. I guess he can't tell them because he doesn't know. So maybe the 99.99% means I am determined to have it somewhere. I just don't really know. So that's why I can't really tell you. Who knows, man? Maybe he's working on 3 things right now.
No sleep is one of them, probably.
I think it's a mistake to have it in the United States because I think the pushback will be too hard. And like you said, anybody that gets sick, there's going to be like branches, you know, there's going to be the root of where it happened and the branches. Although this event's not going to be like Champions League or a day at the beach, because they're still talking about no audience. That part, I believe them. Anyway, we'll keep it locked on Junkie throughout the weekend, and hopefully that information is revealed. Now, that said, let's stick with the theme of Dana White and the UFC. There was an article on Variety, and I actually had seen it. I'm not the reporter that Dana White's talking about, because A, I'm not a reporter. I'm an entertainer.
I'm a lover.
I'm just kidding. I'm just the radio host. But in that story, Variety claimed that, the news had emerged that Endeavor, which owns the UFC, remember, UFC was bought by WME, IMG, and then they are part of another umbrella called Endeavor, something like that. They own the UFC. They laid off 250 staff members. So that was in Variety magazine, which has been around for a long time. And a reporter stated that the UFC was doing layoffs, and Dana White went on his Instagram feed and with a scathing pushback, quote, this scumbag posted a story that says the UFC hit with layoffs, and he was literally gloating about it. First of all, it's not true. I'm going to tell you guys again, most of what you read is not true. Literally, these scumbags write lies. And this guy was gloating about it and saying stuff like, quote, or subquote, I guess, hey, Dana, you have new bosses now. You should have to check with them before you whatever. End of the subquote. He continues, no, I don't. You don't know anything about this expletive situation, and you definitely know nothing about the sport, you jerk off. And for somebody, he continues, and for somebody who's supposed to be a reporter to be gloating about people losing their jobs, he pauses, I said it before, you piece of expletive, nobody will lose their job in the UFC. Nobody's getting laid off. It's not going to happen. The other side of Endeavor laid some people off. I'm not laying anybody off. It's not going to happen. And that's the end of that quote. So I had seen that article on Variety, but I didn't post anything. I don't think we saw anything on Junkie regarding that. I thought I read it through, and I don't remember them saying that the UFC was having layoffs, though. It just said Endeavor. And when what do they say? Where there's smoke, there's fire, in the sense of, I imagine Endeavor's, who knows? Right now, technically, the UFC's not working, so it's not making money. I don't know. That's the entertainment side, the Hollywood side, is what the studios or whatever. So if they're not, I guess the theory is, if you're not working, you're not making money. That's why we have to do the layoffs. In that article, what I did read was that Whitesell and Emmanuel, so that's Patrick Whitesell and Ari Emmanuel, they're like co-CEOs. They said, we're not taking a salary for the rest of the year. You know, mm-hmm. My only question was, I wonder if Dana White's not going to take a salary.
I
think he makes $13 million or $10 million or $15 million. Once I read it, in addition to being a part owner and all that shit, who knows? But I would say that if the owner does that, hey, I'm not going to take a salary, then that's when you start hearing about the layoffs. Because what he's trying to say is, we're all in this together. I had to take a hit too. But as long as no one's getting laid off, then I guess Dana can continue to take a salary. Yeah. Who knows? And now I guess, I bet you once April 19th happens, if Dana White didn't pull the show off, maybe that might happen. But I don't want that to happen. I don't want people to lose their jobs. I'm very lucky to have mine still. But that's not my point. And so, yeah, I agree with him in the point that gloating is terrible. Terrible for someone to think that way and report that way. However, I see it with Dana and I see it with Trump, where if they announce something, you know, there's just going to be people that are heartless, that they have so much hatred built up for someone that they'll pop off. Like, I can only imagine, goes, if someone close to Trump gets coronavirus, you know what you're going to see on Twitter? Gee, what did Trump say the other day about Mitt Romney?
What a shame, or something like that.
Yeah, they're going to do it right back to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand why they're doing it, but it's wrong, folks. The whole two wrongs don't make a right thing. You can't get involved in that. I think that's how Dana comes off to people, the same way Trump comes off to others. Anyway, continuing. Did you want to talk about that at all?
I mean, I have to side with the boss on this one.
Me too.
You know, that guy was in the wrong. He reported the news incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. I think he deserved to get that pushback. He has to hold himself back. He called him a jerk off. That was kind of funny,
though. Yeah, he's got to chill out a little bit.
Patricio Frady and Joanna Calderwood. Interesting articles there on Junkie. I read them. They're both at home just finding new ways to train. You know, Patricio Frady was in that featherweight Grand Prix in which he defends his title as he continues through the Grand Prix. And his event didn't go off. Him and his brother flew back. But what I noted about the article that was interesting goes was that as soon as they got back to Brazil, they were able to get a coronavirus test. Like, pretty easy. You know, and there's others that are like, they say it's not only difficult to get, but it takes like 2 to 10 days to get the result back. There's a young lady
named now it's high.
Katie Morgan, I think that's her name. She's a congresswoman from California who's actually really, really funny. She's from like the Irvine area. She's quarantined herself in her own bedroom, dude. And she says it might take up to 10 days. And the gentleman that was interviewed was like, "You're a congresswoman." She's like, "No, but I'm just a person too." And so anyway, I noted that in Brazil, it seems to be a lot easier. Because him and his brother flew back, and them and a boxing coach have isolated themselves in a condo that they own. And they're just continuing to train. Said the condo's big, and they're just doing stuff there. Coronavirus free. And then Joanne Calderwood, her and her fiancé, John Wood, who's her coach also, they had to close down the Syndicate gym. But they can go in there when the gym's closed, and they have one other training partner who's taking the quarantine very serious. I wonder if that's Roxanne Modafferi, same weight class.
Have you seen the way she's been training?
Who? Oh, yeah, Roxanne with another roommate or something like that?
Just out in the street. I forget what that bag is called. Bulgarian bag or whatever. Like that's what's tripping me out on this whole situation is once we do get these fights, are we really going to have a true representation of who these fighters are? Because their camps are going to be completely different.
Yeah. Well, luckily, they'll be equal. Like, both of them are in the same situation. But, yeah, they set up a gym at home. And they're trying to emulate a little bit of the strength and conditioning on their own. But John Wood did say, I think everything's going to get pushed back 1 or 2 months. And she was slated to fight Valentina Shevchenko like in early June in Perth, Australia. So if we push that back to Australia or August, I think they'll be fine. But either way, those articles were interesting. AJ, Anthony Johnson, shared which fight is bringing him back to the game. He said it was Miocic and Cormier. And another thing he noted goes when I talked to him a few weeks ago was he's 230, 235 pounds, thinks he'll come back to light heavyweight first. He really looked good, man. When I saw him, I told him that. I went out of my way to tell him that. Like just happy and fit and, you know, not. Remember how he'd been bloated AJ for a while and then yoked up AJ for a while? And he could really make 205, no problem. He still has never fought John Jones, and people have been tagging John Jones, so who knows, man. Maybe this guy will be able to pull it off when he comes back, but it'll be about a 3-year layoff by the time he does. And lastly, Dana White is kind of throwing the towel in on Zuffa Boxing. I don't know if you guys had followed that, but basically he wore a Zuffa Boxing shirt about a year and a half ago, and then he kept getting pressed on it. Well, last October, he said that he was going to, I guess, unveil more information on the new boxing operation. And, well, October came and went. There was no coronavirus then. So did November, December, January, and now it just appears like he's not going to do it. He says he really, really looked into it, and he said, quote, "I hate speaking negatively about the sport of boxing other than the fact that it's a mess." We all know it's a mess and needs to be fixed if it can be fixed. He says, "I told you guys I would have a press conference in October to announce some things, but I dove into this thing and I started to look at boxing, the economics of boxing. The sport's a mess. It's been big trouble. I don't know. I don't know if it can be fixed."
What does that say about boxing? Dana White loves money. He loves to make money. And I think if there's an avenue to do it, especially something he loves, that's why the Fertittas and Dana White got involved in mixed martial arts, because they had a passion for combat sports. They have a passion for boxing. I would think that them, even after they said they were going to try this, to not do it, they must have come across some ugly things.
Well, Kevin Ioli, who conducted the interview, was pretty blunt. He pretty much said, more than likely, the economics just isn't as attractive in MMA, where they control so much. You know, in boxing, it's bout for bout. You know, the Muhammad Ali Act. And in boxing, the top rank, Bob Arum, has stated that top rank pays out 80% of the revenue to the fighters. Excuse me. And PBC, there's apparently they're in some antitrust litigation, and it's been revealed that their fighter payout is in the 64 to 62%, at least according to a few years back. Now, in the UFC, the rumors are not rumors, actually. Some financial documents have also popped up through some of their litigations. They're only in the 13 to 16% range for the UFC. So, see, there's more big wiggle difference. Room to make money. Yeah. So, Ioli thought, well, if that's the quote Dana White's going to give me, then I'm going to obviously speculate something that's pretty, there's a pretty big spotlight on. And that's probably the fact that when he's tried to sign fighters, fighters aren't, they're not singing that tune. You know what I mean? Anyway, all these articles are on the front page of MMA Junkie. I'm just kind of trying to give you the cliff notes. And but they're all there if you want to check them out, including Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal. You know how Covington goes and Poirier had kind of kissed and made up. They put a picture. I guess Dan Lambert put a rule. No more trash talking American Top Team unless you have a bout agreement to fight the guy or gal. Because then we obviously have to promote the fight. But he's tired of it. He doesn't want to have it anymore. And that's why Covington apologized to Lambert and Poirier, because he broke that rule. That was last week. Jorge Masvidal, when he saw the article, the quotes coming out of it, he wrote on Twitter, "Fuck Kobe," not Colby, "the most fragile and most sensitive guy in UFC history. Can't kick me out. Can't kick me out of the gym because this rule was for fighters only, not crotch sniffers that get their jaw broken by other crotch sniffers." So the implication is that Colby, he says that about wrestlers. Kobe's the crotch sniffer who got his jaw broken by another crotch sniffer, and he's already putting a jab into Kamaru Usman, who he's rumored to fight sometime this summer if the schedule goes the way it goes out. What do you think, goes? Will Dan Lambert give Masvidal some more leeway? I mean, he's arguably maybe the second biggest name in the sport right now. He's a longtime member of American Top Team. What do you think?
I think they all, there's just no way.
You think he's going to kick him out of the gym?
No. I think all of them are going to get leeway. Like, at the end of the day, what are they going to do? You know, like, it's just, it sucks, because really what it comes down to is respect. You know, we all want to act a certain way, but it's our upbringing, our respect for our parents, for ourselves, for our family. That's what stops us, our jobs, from saying maybe everything that's on our mind. Mm-hmm. And fighters just, they're in the me business.
Plus, there might not be a bout agreement with their names on it right now, but there will be, right? It's almost as good as gold.
Yeah,
I agree. All right. Just check out what Bryce Mitchell said. Holy cow. There was an interview there by Arafata Hanoun. I'll just read you this one line. "I blame the government. I really do. I think coronavirus was made by the government." The guy just went on. But it's a pretty popular hit on the front page of MMA Junkie. Now I think is a good time to talk to James Vick. All right, time to talk to the Texecutioner, James Vick, who just got back from Thailand and has quarantined himself somewhere in the countryside of Texas, his home state. What's up, James Vick? How you doing?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Great, man. I got that right? You just got in from Thailand a couple days ago. You had to go through 5 airports, and you took the safe route of going straight from airport to, I guess it's your buddy's trailer. So you're away from your girl, you're away from your boy, because you wanted to play it safe.
Yeah. So I'm out in the country. My buddy has a bunch of land out here, and he has a little travel trailer out there, older trailer, and a little building where like a garage port thing that where the trailer's parked. And I got off the airplane. I had some people come pick me up, and then I was wearing a mask, wore gloves. My girl had pretty much everything waiting for me in the garage, and I went in there. I grabbed it all. Anything I touched, I sprayed down really heavy with Lysol, and I had gloves on and a mask. And then I left, and I drove out here to the country, and want to make sure I have no symptoms. It's been, 2 days now since I've been back. I have no symptoms yet, but they say, you know, up to 2 weeks you could have symptoms. And I have a doctor friend that was saying that most people see symptoms if they have it within 4 to 6 days. So we'll see. The plan is, I mean, obviously I don't want to stay there for two full weeks, even as much as I love hunting and outdoors and stuff. I want to see my family, but I'm waiting for Dallas to start offering some type of testing, but I've been calling and they're saying that I can't get tested unless I'm showing symptoms, basically. So no one's going to approve for me to get a test. So that's where we're at.
All right. So I've been following the news a little bit, and the countries that have really been hit hard are like China, France, Germany, Spain, the UK, Iran. Of course, we're in the United States. I didn't hear Thailand come up on that list. You know, like I'm sure every country's gotten hit somewhat. So that, and then two, I've heard Texas is one of the states that hasn't been as hit as hard as California, New York, Washington. So this is actually really, really super cautious what you are doing, what you just described. Did you come across, did you do that on your own, or was that suggested to you by somebody here, you know, that took the cautious route?
Well, me and my girl kind of decided together. It really wasn't about being in Thailand because I really had no fear over there of catching anything. I felt the cases over there are very low compared to here, compared to a lot of other places. But I had to travel through 5 airports. I flew from Thailand to Taiwan, from Taiwan to L.A., and then my flight got canceled. So then I had to fly from L.A. to Minnesota and then Minnesota to Dallas. So I flew through all those airports. There wasn't a lot of people on any of the planes. Even the international flight had a lot of room on it. Every one of the flight from Minneapolis to Dallas was, I swear, probably less than 20 people. They were all very small flights, but, you know, I know that there's a possibility of traveling that much. You're going to, you know, basically 30 something hours, you're going to come across a lot of germs and stuff. And it's weird to come here and see no one wearing masks because, everybody in Thailand was wearing one. You couldn't, they wouldn't even let you at the airport. When I went to the airport, in Thailand, I got an email from Delta because I had to change my flight and to try to come home because I figured they were going to stop all international flights pretty soon if I didn't come home. So I came home early because they had shut down all the gyms in Thailand. I was over there training Muay Thai. They shut down the gyms. They closed down all businesses altogether, and everyone was just, it was like a ghost town. Wow. And when I got an email saying that I wasn't allowed to come to the airport without a mask, so I better have a mask. And I did everything I could. I went to the airport, and every single body was wearing a mask. And then when I get to America, even in L.A., as bad as it is over there, no one's wearing a damn mask or anything. So I was like, and then when I'm walking around in the stores here, you know, I came home and the only store I went to, I was wearing gloves and a mask. I went to the gas station and got gas and some bags of ice to put in my cooler. And everyone was looking at me like I'm a freak or something for wearing this stuff. But over there in Thailand, if you weren't wearing it, they were looking at you like something was wrong with you.
You're a freak either way. Yeah. It wasn't. All right. Now you were there for, was it 4 weeks, 4 months? What did I read?
I was there for a little over 3 weeks. I was supposed to be there for 1 month, but I cut the trip short like 9 days or something like that.
What's your status right now as an MMA fighter? Are you just a guy that's taking some time off? Are you looking to fight soon? I mean, prior to this whole thing, you know, the whole sport shutting down, you know, were you taking time off during the holidays? It was kind of quiet on your front for a while.
Yeah, I rested, you know, I rested for a couple months and I started training again. And the plan was to go to Thailand and train and get ready and then basically have a fight before I left there. But honestly, now I don't foresee any fights happening anytime soon. I mean, you know, Dana White could, you know, maybe get the Khabib Tony fight somehow. But even if he got that particular fight card to happen, I don't see any. I mean, I think people are delusional to think that this is over in 2 weeks. I mean, they just canceled the damn Olympics, and people think that their lives are going back to normal in 2 weeks. I mean, this stuff is very serious, and I've seen it really. When I was in Thailand, I saw, and you know, just traveling and stuff, I've seen the stress on people's faces. Like they realize, well, I think what's coming as far as the economy, like not just in America, but the global economy is about to be going to shit. And I just don't see any fight cards happening. Like I said, maybe somehow Dana can pull off the Khabib Tony card, but besides that, I don't see any other cards happening anytime soon. Especially if they're willing to cancel the Olympics, then it's pretty damn serious.
Man, you know, that now that I think about your timeline, like you probably left around the time that Israel and Yoel were fighting, and Vegas was, you know, jumping like it normally does, and then you come back to this, man. I mean, like, was anybody relaying exactly how everything shut down, and was it believable to you when people were, you know, talking to you about just how the United States has been flipped upside down by coronavirus?
So I left like a week and a half before that fight, maybe a little bit less, maybe a week before that fight happened. And I started seeing stuff, and I didn't think it was that. Honestly, so I got back yesterday. I got back, or the day before. I got, what's today, Wednesday now?
Correct.
Yes. Okay, I got back on Monday, and basically a week until about a week before that, the first 2 weeks I was there, I didn't take it serious. I was just reading stuff, and then I saw how bad it was getting, and I saw how hard flights were getting. And you know, my girl was like, maybe you should change your flight. At first she was like, don't worry about it, people were just panicking. And then things kept getting worse and worse and worse, and then she's like, you should possibly look into changing your flight. And I looked, and it was getting harder and harder, and I was like, I was kind of worried that I'm thinking maybe even by the end of this week that they might completely shut down all international travel altogether. So I was like, if I don't leave soon, then I'm not going to be able to leave. I'm going to be stuck here in Thailand for how God knows how long. So I ended up getting a ticket and coming home early. But yeah, I really didn't until about a week ago. I didn't realize how serious it was getting over here. And then, you know, I started, you know, getting more, because I can't watch news or anything like that besides on my phone. And in Thailand, you know, I don't speak the language, so the TV can't watch news over there. So I was only getting, you know, phone information or whatever. You know, you can't trust the news anyway.
James, you talked about when you got home, somebody had picked you up at the airport. Does that mean that even until this point, have you had any contact whatsoever with your family? Like, were you able to talk to them, but maybe not touch them? How did all that work for you?
Yeah, I've been Skyping them and stuff, and then I didn't see my son at all. When I came in, I saw my girl. She came to the door, but I didn't get within like 10 or 15 foot of her. I was at the edge of the garage, and she just opened the door up and talked to me for a minute, but I didn't touch her, didn't get close to her. Didn't even see my son at all. He was in the back room because I didn't want to see him, because I know if he saw me, you know, I'm going to want to hold him. He's going to hold me. So she had my stuff ready, and I grabbed it, and it took off.
Man, well, I have to commend you, because that takes a lot of willpower, you know, to be able to do that.
I agree.
I've been seeing a lot of people online. I have a friend that doesn't want to be around her parents, and she just drives to their house, has to sit on the other side of the screen door, and they leave a little meal out there, and they just talk through the screen door. But, you know, we're talking about somebody in their 40s, and you know, you have a young child. So I definitely want to commend you for being able to do that. It takes a lot of strength to do that. So props to you on that, James. And I want to ask you a little bit about your training in Thailand. When you go there, is the training basically the plan? Does it sit on your shoulders, or do any of the people, the coaches that are helping you, do they go back and watch your fights and tell you this is what you need to do? Or is it more of just like a technique type thing that you're picking up over there?
Well, it depends on which trip. So I've been to Thailand 5 times, and the last 2 times I went to Fairtex Training Center, which is, you know, phenomenal. My one of my teammates has been my teammate for 7 years. He's now the head coach over there for MMA, DJ Jackson. He's a 2-time no-gi black belt world champion. He's like an 8-time jiu-jitsu world champion, and he's the head jiu-jitsu coach over there now. And a lot of it has been, you know, this last trip was just me trying to fall back in love with fighting. You know, I feel like a lot of this has you know, a lot of this, you know, I just felt like I just kind of lost interest, and I still do, you know, I still always did what was required, but, you know, to me, I still blame, you know, all my losses on technical issues, you know, besides the last fight, which, you know, kind of sucked because I went and worked with my friend Dorian Price, and I feel like he really helped me, probably better than anyone has ever helped me keep my hands up and fix these technical issues. And then last fight, I didn't get to go out there and show that I got caught with a damn up kick. But besides that, I feel like all the issues were technical, you know, fighting with my hands down and my chin there. It's just been, you know, it's been a problem my whole career, and no one ever made me pay for it until I got to a top 10 level guy, you know? So, it's hard to talk about that and not offend people, because I've worked with some great coaches, but just because someone is a great coach, this is, you know, they might not be able to fix your particular issues. You know, like a lot of the coaches I've worked with, you know, I know if they took a kid from the ground up that never trained before, that kid would have great technique. But it's a lot easier to train someone from the ground up than have someone come to you after 5 or 6 years of bad technique and then try to fix those issues. And I think that's what I've dealt with the coaches in the past is, you know, it was me coming to them already basically fucked up technique because that's my fault too. I chose to stay loyal to a coach that wasn't correcting my technique. My first boxing coach ever, you know, I had 20 fights under him and I won most of those boxing fights. I was a 2-time Golden Glove champion, you know, and so you don't know what you don't know. Like I'm training with somebody you can't tell. And me and this guy at the time, you know, we've had a falling out, but I was with this man for 12 years and, you know, he was like a second father to me. I lived with him and, you know, but he never fixed my problems. He never corrected anything. So I started off with bad technique. He never corrected anything. And then I go to other coaches and I realize, hey, I'm not getting as good a technique as I should get. So I started training with them, but, they weren't able to fix my particular problem, even though I know that they're great coaches because, you know, I've seen people that they've had since the beginning that have great technique. You know, it's just so a lot of it, you know, I don't ever take the bitch route and blame someone else for my problems. You know, a lot of my stuff has been, you know, to me, in my opinion, you know, the most part of the hands up, chin and air shit. I mean, the hands down, chin and air stuff was my fault for staying loyal to someone that wasn't fixing my problems or that caused the problems to begin with, because I am doing what coaches ask. I go in there, I work hard, I train harder than anybody I know, but, you know, those issues have existed and no one ever made me pay for them until I got to a top 10 guy.
Is there a particular technique or something that when Americans go to Thailand, right away, the Thais can point that out and say, you know, this is very common for the training in the U.S., and they come after that one technique? Is there anything in particular that they point out?
Well, you know, for one thing, I feel like if your hands are down, one of the main things that you need that has to be done is you have to, like a lot of coaches, you know, hate on pad work and they say, oh, fighters only want pad work, this and that. And I agree, too many fighters, you know, depend too much on pad work. But at the end of the day, that is the only way to fix my problem. You know, I went over there with my friend Dorian, who's actually an American, but this was last time I was there, before I fought Nico Price. He's actually American, but he's lived over there off and on for 10 years. He coaches Matt Brown. He did a camp with Stipe before. And he literally would slap, he would hold pads for me for an hour and a half every day. And he would slap me, I swear to God, every 5 seconds. And we did specific drills that really no one, after all these years of fighting, no one's ever shown me these particular drills that he had me doing. And we did them over and over and over again. I really feel like I made, you know, like drastic improvements. As far as the Thai coaches, you know, I would work with Dorian in the morning and then I worked with them in the evenings. And this time I just worked with the Thais because Dorian wasn't there. He was actually in camp with Matt Brown before the fight got canceled. But yeah, they, you know, the things they do correct is, you know, they correct, the boxing isn't necessarily the greatest in Thailand, but they correct the kicks, they correct the knees. You clinch, you know, elbows, stuff like that. Like, the things you really can't get here is the clinch and the elbow game, but you're not going to get at a high level here in America. You're going to get, you know, people can teach you how to kick, people can teach you how to punch, but they don't understand the clinch like the Thais do, and they don't understand elbow, you know, and how to land, how to block the right way. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of details involved, and any of the Thai trainers you work with, probably the least experienced guy you're going to train with over there has 100 fights.
Wow. James, let's talk about your status. Last I checked, you're still on the UFC roster. I bring it up only because you had mentioned in some of your pre-fight interviews that, hey, you never know when you might be fighting for your job. Has that, can you, in fact, corroborate that? Like, I mean, it sounds like you mentioned Dana White earlier. It sounds like you're still part of the organization. And was there ever any conversation with the matchmakers about your status?
I mean, I've talked to Sean Shelby. I don't know how much I can really, you know, I really want to say, especially now that there's no fights going on or anything, but, and, you know, nothing coming up or whatever. I've talked to Sean Shelby. I'm still in I guess we're still in the phases of figuring stuff out. I'm still on the USADA testing pool.
Good.
If anything happens, you know, if a fight happens soon, I would be ready because, you know, I'm already in shape. I just went, you know, basically did a camp and, you know, in Thailand. You know, so I don't really know my exact status at the moment because, you know, I don't know what's all going on and everything. I doubt, you know, it would be kind of pointless to even talk to Sean at the moment, but, he did tell me stay in the USADA testing pool and, you know, I'm still there.
That's good to hear. I mean, let's not forget, you got 9 wins in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. You had an 8-1 run. You had a 5-fight win streak. So, that's, you know, it's not like you're 5-5 or nothing like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, A lot of people talk shit or whatever, but at the end of the day, I mean, saying I don't belong in the UFC, to me, that's just delusional. Yeah, you can say that I don't belong in the top 10, and that's fine. That's understandable. But besides getting caught with a fucking upkick, I've never lost to any opponent that wasn't a top 10 fighter. Everybody that beat me at the time was in the ranked in the top 10. You know, I lose to Gaethje, who's ranked number 4, I think now. Paul Felder got ranked 6. Dan Hooker was ranked 7th. And even back when Benil Dariush beat me, he was ranked in the top 10. So I've never lost to a fighter that wasn't a top 10 fighter. So besides, you know, one upkick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to say I'm not a top-level fighter, that's fine. You know, you can say that. But to say I don't belong in the UFC, to me, is just delusional. When I've beat 9 other fucking dudes that are in the UFC, and half of them are still there.
And then bringing up, again, a topic that you brought up earlier, there was a falling out with a coach. What's the future as far as your camps and coaches? Where will you be doing it when MMA kicks up again and you do get a fight booked?
Yeah, you know, I still train with Team Lil Irvin. You know, I still train with Sadiq. You know, Sadiq's, you know, still one of my main sparring partners. You know, the falling out wasn't with him at all. It was with the coach I had here in Texas. And, you know, that's something that, you know, like I said, 100% my fault, you know, because Master Lord was telling me, you know, my coach was telling me when I'm back home in Texas, you know, hey, you need to get you a boxing coach. And I had a boxing coach, but I had the fucking one that I was loyal to that basically fucked up my technique to begin with, you know, and I stayed with him. You know, that's a hard one, man. You know, when you're like family with somebody and you live with them, they help you out when you're down on your luck, you know, years ago and let you move in with them and everything like that. But, you know, they're also the cause of, you know, of all your technical issues as far as, you know, striking and keeping your hands up and stuff. But you feel a sense of loyalty, you know, to this person, you know. And even to this day, you know, he's the one who broke off of our relationship we had, you know, this former coach. So, you know, like I said, my coach, Master Lloyd, you know, he was telling me, you know, get a boxing coach. And in my mind, you know, I'm like, I have one, but it was, you know, and I thought that I could, because I had good coaches, you know, elsewhere, that I could just work around it and still stay with that one person and, you know, fix stuff on my own. But I couldn't, you know.
Have you found the new boxing coach?
Oh yeah, I do. I have a very good boxing coach now. His name is Kendrick Rutherford. He
in Texas.
Was a former heavyweight boxer. Had 40 pro fights. He fought, you know, he fought Chris Areola. He fought Luis Ortiz and Malik Scott. So he's fought some good guys, very experienced. And I've known him for years, and we've been friends, you know, for years. And I just started working with him, you know, more serious in the last, you know, few months, last probably 6 months or so.
Yeah. All right. Hey, last question. We'll have a little fun with this one. You went through 5 airports. You took 4 flights. with these planes being empty, did they just say, come on up, just fly first class? I mean, how did the upgrades work? Or did you just have your own row? Did you get to live large on any flights?
I wish they would let me fly first class. No, but I did have, I did have my own row on two or three of the different flights. Not the international one, but the other ones. I had my own row and I got to lay down and, you know, chill. So that went too bad, but, and that's, you know, there was a lot of room. I got to lay down, but not on the international flight. Never got first class.
All right. Well, I saw you sweating it on social media. You were asking questions. Should I get back? Should I get back? And so I was following it a little bit. And then when I saw you, you made it back. You already hunted your first pig. That pig looked tasty, by the way. I saw the whole self-quarantine. I was, just wanted to confirm that these aren't old pigs. You're back, right? And you picked up, and I'm glad we were able to catch up with you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me. And, I don't know how much longer I'll be out here, but I'll keep you updated. If they start allowing me testing in Dallas, I'll go back and get tested and see. I'm having no side effects. I mean, or no symptoms, but that doesn't mean anything right now. But if not, I might be out here for 2 weeks. I'll let you know.
Does that trailer have a shower, by the way? It didn't look like a 2020 model.
It does not. So what I did is I have a huge, 5 gallon jug of water. I'm driving into town. I'm filling it up, and anything I touch, I spray with a can of Lysol instantly. And then I'm going out there and using a cup, pouring over my head, pouring over my body, washing myself off with soap. And that's how I'm doing it.
Oh wow, okay. I thought maybe somebody came out and just hosed you down like Rambo.
I grew up poor white trash. Like nothing new. This is all normal.
All right, my man. Well, hey, stay safe. And we'll catch up soon. I have a feeling you're going to be okay. You took a lot of precautions. You're on day two, so we'll check in with you. But in the meantime, stay safe, and God bless you and your family, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. See ya. Well, there you have it. The guy covered a lot, right?
Yeah, that's crazy that he's able to do
five
all that stuff.
Airports, yeah. And
I just want him to grab his little boy and
the self-discipline of not seeing his boy after being gone for 3 weeks and probably being within 10 steps of him. He could see his girl and he wanted to hug her and he didn't, and now he's self-quarantining. That's a lot of discipline, man. And how about the fact that it sounds like he still has that job with the UFC? I think he deserves it. He's 9-5 overall. He deserves it.
Yeah, we'll see where things go. I mean, James has only lost to top guys, so I think there should be room for him.
Now, check out James Vick on Instagram, instagram.com/ James Vick MMA, and follow him because he's kind of doing like a little daily blog there of him in rural Texas in his trailer. He kind of looks like Chucky from Sons of Anarchy. Hunting pigs, staying alive, and basically self-quarantining himself. He's willing to go up to 14 days following whatever rules because he doesn't want to get his family sick. But obviously, if in a few days he doesn't show symptoms, he'll revisit that. And that's our show for today. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And check out our video franchise, The Spinning Backlick, dropping on Tuesdays on the front page of MMA Junkie. We really appreciate the shares, anybody that does that, the retweets. That's something we started about 6 months ago when we started doing a little bit less radio. The Off Guard series, the rankings report, they're kind of on hold because obviously we're kind of quarantined in the house. But still, a few of them popped up this week from some stuff that was done a few weeks ago. And the rankings will still come out, but basically there's just going to be no movement. What might happen is someone may fall off from inactivity or retirement or, God forbid, something else. But, that's it. Goes, any final thoughts?
Yeah, we might have some cool news coming out soon. We just got to cross some T's and dot some I's. But if you're a fan of the show, I think you might like it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. On that other front, and then we also have a few things lined up on some video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. All right, folks. So stay safe out there.
you know, be with your families, be healthy, and try to obey the experts is all I can say. There you go. Obey the experts, people that know the most, so that we can continue. We can power through this damn thing and then get back to our normal lives soon. Go out there and be a champion.